Well, joining us by phone right now from New York, we have Terry Bockland. She is the Isle Royale National Park Artist in Residence. She's calling from New York right now. Terry, how are you?
I'm just great, Will. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a while since we've done an interview.
Thanks for inviting me. I have lots to share.
All right. Well, what do you want to share? Let's.
The first thing I want to share is that being at Isle Royale last summer as the artist in residence, and having also visited one time prior to that, has really gotten me interested in the wolf situation there on Isle Royale. And it has inspired a lot of music, and it's inspired a lot of activity. And I find myself today at the Wolf Conservation Center in South Salem, New York. They have their own pack. They have gray wolves. They have Mexican gray wolves, and they have red wolves. And they have some hybrids here. They're very much movers and shakers in the world of wolf conservation. And I'm here to play for the fine folks who are here for a sleepover with the wolves. Oh, how cool is that?
Very cool. I don't really think of New York as having a lot of wolves, but I'm glad they do.
Well, these aren't. Yeah, they're imported. Mm-hmm. They're not native to New York at this point in time.
So, can I ask, how did you get involved with the residency on Isle Royale?
Well, we visited Isle Royale 2011 for a week of backpacking. And, you know, hauled our 40-pound packs all over Isle Royale and camped, which you need to do because it's 99.9% wilderness. Mm-hmm. Not by any means the kind of resort kind of national park that you think of when you think national parks. Fell absolutely in love with the place. And I'm a songwriter. I'm a professional musician. And bumped into a ranger at one of the ranger stations, and I asked her, you know, so inspiring, you know, and she said, well, there is an artist in residency here on Isle Royale. All you have to do is apply. And in fact, she said, I was an Isle Royale artist in residence. She's speaking of herself. And then she fell so in love with the place that she packed up and became a ranger and was on Isle Royale for many years before she decided it was time to go back to Illinois, where she was making her home.
How long were you actually on the island?
I was there as the artist in residence for 3 weeks, and we stayed in a cabin atop a cliff at the north end of the island. The cabin was built in 1905. Of course, that means no running water, no electricity. Thank goodness, no internet, no telephone, no television. And it was, you know, the download of inspiration was fast and furious. I mean, it was so inspiring, and I think my soul happens to be particularly open to the awe and the beauty and the spirit of that place. But I think you'd have to be dead not to be open to the beauty and the wonder and the spirit of that place. It's truly one of the last really wild places, and so pristine and so untouched. And you can hike 10 miles and not see another human being. It's what Glacier Park would be if you had Glacier Park all to yourself, you know, in terms of, like, how beautiful it is and how awe-inspiring. It's really something. You hike and you come across moose antlers. You hike and you come across copper formations that were crafted. You know they were crafted by Native Americans. And when you come to Isle Royale, they tell you, you know, if you find anything that looks like a historical artifact, leave it there. Don't pick it up. You know, as soon as you come back to one of the ranger centers, let the rangers know where it is. And we did. We came across stuff like that, and it amazed us.
So how did that translate kind of to your creative process and inspiration for the music?
Well, the first piece of music that was written inspired by Isle Royale, I wrote after our first trip there in 2011. We were standing on top of a lookout point called Lookout Louise, which is on the Greenstone Trail, runs the length of Isle Royale, and we could see a moose swimming in the water below us. And we watched it for 20 minutes, and at that time I thought, oh my gosh, this thing's going to drown. But I have since learned that moose are very good swimmers. But my particular kind of quirky way of thinking is I want to be underneath the water looking up. Where's Discovery Channel when you need them? to film. What does it look like when a moose is swimming over you in the water? And as soon as I could get my hands on a guitar, there was this tune, and that's the tune Bigozo, which is, I think, the fourth or fifth track on the CD. Mm-hmm. It's the soundtrack for a moose swimming through the water, and if the Discovery Channel ever wants to film it, I'll give them the music.
So, had you been spending a lot of time in kind of the Lake Superior region before that?
I have indeed. My family roots are in the UP and also northern Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota. But we spent summers on Lake Superior as a kid. Every summer we rented a cabin on Lake Superior, and lots of family there, so we were always there for Christmas, Thanksgiving. And, I've been in love with the place for a very long time. I also worked at a camp there for special needs children that's up there in the UP, and it fills my soul. I hate to go kind of cringy tree hugger on you here, but it's a place that just fills my soul, and everything feels right when I am there in that part of the world. So I'm trying to figure out a way to get back there. We were, we slept on the dock one night at one of the smaller islands. You know, Isle Royale has 400 smaller islands around it. Slept on the dock one night at one of these smaller islands and woke up and just watched the northern lights shooting across the sky.
Wow.
And I do mean shooting. It wasn't like the slow shimmer that you sometimes see. It was the dawn side of the aurora, which can produce a very different kind of pulsating aurora. And it was just astounding. And the second to last tune on the CD is Aurora, and it was inspired. We were canoeing and camping at that point, but as soon as we got back to the cabin and I got a guitar in my hand, I wrote the tune Aurora as a guitar duet. My husband came with me, and he's also a guitarist, so we put this guitar duet together, and it just evokes, you know, the awe of the northern lights and the dancing and the movement. And
that's really interesting that you just said that, because that's the song that I opened the set with, knowing that you'd be coming on.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow, thank you.
Yeah, so lucky guess. How was your husband there? He was with you the whole time, right? And he's on probably about half the songs on this record.
More than half. We give him the spice rack. He plays guitar. He also sings. He does we give him the spice rack, which has, you know, Indian sweet meat bells and udu African clay drum and an ocean drum, and he plays a kalimba. He adds a lot of spice. So we give him the spice rack.
And speaking of instruments, did I read correctly on your website that you actually studied with Michael Monroe?
I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How about that? And it was 1,000 years ago. And I think, truth be told, I've been in touch with Mike because, when I got the artist in residency, I just felt like I needed to get in touch with him and say, you know, your inspiration and has you have your, my music has your fingerprints on it, you know, and I just wanted to reach out and say thank you. And I think he doesn't remember me, but that's okay, because it was back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Like in the 1970s.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing about this album is that I kind of got a sense when listening to it, kind of like a Native American influence. Do you think that's there too?
Definitely. When we would go to Marquette, one of our things that we always did when we went to Marquette was go to the gravesite of Chief Charlie Cabagam, which is on Presque Isle there in the city of Marquette. And my father, you know, he infused us with the importance of this man and what his mark on the area was. And we took it very, very seriously to be there at his grave. And I finally found a picture of him, and I felt like I was, you know, kind of connecting to something important. And my family, you know, is very Swedish in its roots, but my grandfather on my dad's side looked very Native American, and we would ask him, "Grandpa, are you Native American? Are you Ojibwe?" And he would wink. He would just wink. So I don't know what that meant.
The mystery continues.
But yeah, I chose the word bigozo. It means go swimming in Ojibwe, as far as I understand, because I feel that that this land still belongs to the Native people. I feel the connection that they have to that place. They named the island Manon, which was a special place or a place of the berries. And there is a Manong Trail there, you know, that stands as a testimony to it was their place first. Yeah. And then the last song, the owl song, the little round that I sing at the end, I learned at camp when I was a kid. So I'd love to hear some feedback from your Ojibwe listeners and see if I got it just about right or if I need to do something different with it.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. If someone wanted to find a copy of this album or just listen to it, what would they have to do?
You can listen. A lot of the tracks are posted, not all of them, but a lot of the tracks are posted on SoundCloud. I have a Reverb Nation page with all the tracks posted, none of that's downloadable. And then, of course, if you want to buy the CD, you just go to my website, and I have all the bells and whistles there to get you your own copy.
All right.
And I have it on good knowledge that the White Pine North gift shop is stocking it. So you could, if you needed one right away, you could run over to the White Pine North gift shop.
Well, very good to know. Well, anything else you want to tell us?
Keep the wolves protected. Let's, you know, the wolves are essential to our environment, and I think it's tragic that we're hunting them, and a lot of the songs on the CD are about the wolves, of course, and there's a special song there about Isabel. She was the radio-collared wolf who left Isle Royale this last winter and was found dead on the ice of Lake Superior near Grand Portage. So I think it's important that we think about conservation and not sports and trophy hunting.
Actually, Isabel, I think was the best song on the album. So how about we have that play you out? I thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for your interest. And I hope to get out there this summer and maybe run on into the studio and give you a big hug.
All right. I'll be waiting.
Okay, beware. All right. Thanks, Will.
See ya. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. Well, that was Terry Bockland, and we're going to play Isabel from the album of Lake and Isle right now.